channel 2 over, and I'm setting it up for the next session this Friday, the 4th of October, 74. We've had one this Friday morning. Now we have this long one of the logging business to come up this Friday, the 4th of October, 74. I'm just setting up for Burl out here in the little trailer this Friday, the 4th of October, 74. This channel 2 over. Channel 2 over, this is Channel 2 over, and I'm setting up for Burl this Friday, the 4th of October, 74, Channel 2 over, and I'm setting up for Burl after dinner, I guess. It's already getting up towards past 11, this Friday, the 4th of October, 74.
How that come up about the lumber?
Well, I just forget who started it.
We had those lumber trucks, but you wasn't talking about them lumber trucks. They coming this way because that wire was over there.
Well, no, I don't think then, but now that there looks like is a set up thing to keep the lumber trucks, heavy loaded trucks, off of the road. You see what I mean?
Over that branch.
Yes. Yeah. In other words, that's the neighbor for you.
Yeah.
Don't care what happened to the other fella.
Yeah.
So they survive. Have a road to run over. See?
Well, now we passed them trucks, two or three of them trucks.
Yes, and I expect that's what brought the subject up about the lumber and mill. The old man one said something or another about the lumber dealers skinning people.
Yes, and I said I wouldn't have them on my land. I had a little lumber there, but they'd tear up the land.
That's right. That's right. They do it.
Yeah. And then we got over into the measuring part of it.
Well, the measuring part, how come us to get on the measuring part? I was working up here for this man up in the holler here, and he had an old fellow logging by the thousand.
Oh, yes.
$7 a thousand.
Yes.
Had to measure his trail every time he come in. And he was the saw man. He was the sawyer. Well, he had his other mill men. Whenever he stopped to take his rule this way to measure it, if he cheated him just right, it took a little time, you see. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I did.
The mailman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mailman. He wouldn't just go up, you suppose, this log rule, that's what that hook's on that foot.
Yeah.
Just to hook over the bark and all.
Yeah.
Come over here, wherever you can put your finger that away on the number, on the other side, if the bark's still on it, why, that's supposed to measure bark and all. The man hauled the bark and all in there.
Yeah.
But the most of them tries to measure from the inside of the bark.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a rule now. They've done away with this. This is the old-time door rule. And they've got a rule like a four-foot folding rule, you know, that you carry in your pocket. You just stick it out here to the edge of the bark here, out edge of the wood, and measure the wood. That's the way they've got cheating people out of timber more, you see. They get more for their money. Timberman does.
Yeah.
So, this year when this millman wanted me to measure the old man's trails as we come in, I was driving a horse for him. and we come into the mill together, rolled the skidway together. Well, he come out, he said, "Cook," he said, "take this here rule and measure this old man's trail here." Said, "I have to shut my mill down, got my men standing idle," and said, "You can measure it just as well as I can." I said, I can't measure it the way you do. I said, there was a little log laying there. I said, that log right there, 16 foot long and 10 inches to top end. Measured out, this rule gives it 36 feet. Now, I said, that log there, you saw two 4x8 headers out of it, which you'll sell for 64 feet of sawed lumber. You see what you're getting him out of? I won't measure it that way. I'll split the difference with you fellas. If it suits you well," said the rule's supposed to give the measurement of the log measurement. I said, I'm trying to split the log measure and the mill measure.
Yeah, but he was trying to talk you down.
He yes, but he didn't.
He turned up his nose at that when you said that.
Sure, but I just told him, I said, no, I said, I won't measure it. No other way. I said, I'll be fair with both of you, split the difference. I said, that log there, a 10-inch log, it's got 36 feet in it. You'll saw 64 feet out of it. And I'll measure that for 50 feet, give the old, it's the preacher, had the contract. I said, I'll give the old preacher 50 feet, and then you'll still be 14 feet ahead of it. That's giving and taking, that's splitting with you.
Yeah.
Preacher was standing right by. Yes, sir. And he argued with me. Millman did. So he said it wouldn't saw out the 2 4x8 headers. So I just picked the end, little end of it up and threw it up crossways of the log and rolled it down, rolled it on the carriage. I said, you saw that. I'm going to show you.
Oh, yeah.
Right at his own mill. And I was working for him. So he sawed out 2 4x8 headers. Well, there wasn't anything for him to do, only he said, we are wasting too much time. He said, you go ahead and measure. Be fair with us.
Yeah.
So the old man boarded here, and he set in by the far many night, and, well, I can maybe pay my board now. I wasn't paying my board before you went to measuring my log. That's the biggest cheat for the man that's selling the timber in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the reason my father couldn't do no good in the timber. This was his rule he measured logs with.
Yeah. Well, now he run into difficulties, your daddy did.
Sure, yes. Yes. Broke himself up 2 or 3 times in the log woods trying to make a living. Last log job he went into, he lost his everything away he had, and the winners lose when a loss of.
Yeah. Yeah. And he took it to law.
Yes. But he finally won out, but didn't, like I say, he spent it. The lawyers got it.
Yeah.
Then the only fellows that comes out ahead in a lawsuit is the lawyers.
Yeah.
Both sides get their money.
Well, now, Ted brought this up, that when you put that saw through there, you don't get the board there. It takes a quarter of an inch.
Well, now, I brought that up.
You bring
it up. If you mind, about the mill man sawing a house pattern from my father. And there was quite a bit of difference in the measurement. My father measured the lumber when he hauled it home. The mailman measured it when he got it in the square.
Yeah.
Well, if it was 9 inches square, you had 8-inch boards when you got sawed. Maybe. Let's see, maybe I'm not figuring just right. I'm not too good on figuring. But the saw cut took 1/4 inch.
Yeah.
Well, no, it has to be 10 inch.
Yeah. Well, anyhow.
Anyhow.
Every time that saw goes through, that takes 1/4 inch.
Well, yes, and if he sawed 8 boards, I'll put it this way. I'm not good in figuring. If he sawed 8 boards, that was 8 saw cuts, you see.
Yeah.
And it takes 4/4 to make an inch.
Yeah.
To make a whole inch. Well, you were short there. You were short there. 2 boards, you see.
Yeah.
Cut out in the sawdust. That went in the sawdust pit and sewed out in sawdust.
Yeah.
Well, when he measured that was 2 boards, and that's where the difference came in the two men's measures. The mailman measured it in the square. My father measured it in the board.
Well, now you've run into that a lot of times where they were doing that.
Well, not so many. Most people with a... Well, really, this is the only individual time that I can be truthful and say I've run into it was this one time.
Well...
My father. But up here, this man was just given what this rule gave. Now, this... On this 16-foot, 10-inch log here, if he'd have measured it, if he hadn't, he come out a loser when he mentioned about me, in a way, when he mentioned about me a measuring, for he to give the old preacher 36 feet for it.
Yeah.
A 16-foot log, 10 inches, measured out by this rule, 36 feet. As you see, he'd give... The old preacher 36 feet. Well, I give him 50. That's 14 feet extra.
Now this is a different case. But the fellow that bought the timber rights up there, this land up there, and he was going to let you all have the land after he got the timber off.
Oh, no. That's a different proposition. That's
yeah.
A different setup. That was back. Way back there, when this oil field first started, there was a sawmill man come over here to buy. He was a buying timber and sawing it and furnishing the oil companies the timber that they had to build the rigs with, where it was just they usually, it didn't have to be good first-class timber. He just sold it kind of random, and so as he got the footage and got his money out of it. Didn't have to be sold true and even like if we were going to build a house or take it and manufacture it into dressed lumber, you see. So he come over here and wanted to buy this strip of company land lays behind our place here. My brother owned that down there. Me and my father owned this up here. Well, he had to, if he bought that timber and the land, he had to bring it out through us. He couldn't get it. Then they didn't have no bulldozers to take it up across the mountain and down the other side, you see.
Oh, yes.
So, they had to bring it off the mountain with horsepower.
Yeah.
Well, he'd had to set his mill in some of the bottom shed, broke the timber down. He'd had to come in with his wagon and wagoned it. My father said no.
He didn't want to put up with it.
Wouldn't let him have it, no. Well, I went to work. Then I tried to get my father and brother to go in with me and buy the company land, sell the timber to this old man. That'd leave us the land, which we could have cleared the land, you see what I mean?
Sure.
Wouldn't have had nothing in the land.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
But they wouldn't do that.
That's funny.
I begged them. And I laid at night and dreamt about owning the whole head of the creature in the family. Well, it didn't end up quite that way. But putting you.
Yeah.
I've got my part of the company land. The boy got his part of the company land up here. And the head of the hollow there is all we lost. And the lower end down here, 30 acres on the lower end,
yeah,
is all we lost.
So you've done pretty good after
that. After all, yes.
Yeah.
But you see, fella don't all time get his get to do what he wants to do, you know. But now the timber business is a treacherous thing. You better know what you're doing. If you go into the timber, you're going to lose.
Yes.
Money.
Yes.
Wake yourself up if you ain't careful.
Too many ways. Many ways that they've got.
Yes.
Oh, that's what Ted said. He said he had worked in timber and he knew all them ways.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you see.
They didn't get you one way, there wasn't another.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
What was that? That was cute. We were talking and something about the cook and Aisha said she was a cook. But something or other, that was at supper, and we took it from there. What was that?
That was about this same old fellow wanted to buy the timber here, furnishing the oil company, the lumber. He bought a tract of timber over here on 36 below Newton, on what's called Little Laura Creek, just a little holler. Well, He lived back over this way next to Clay, too far for him to get to and from home. He couldn't ride an automobile, for they didn't have them then.
Yeah.
Had horses and wagons.
Yeah.
So he built him a shanty and went over there, and he took his men over there and kept them.
Oh, yeah.
Kept them in a shanty through the week, worked his timber.
Yes.
Sold his lumber, delivered it, and come in on weekends home. And his men,
he had to have somebody around.
He had to have a cook, and the men, none of them liked it.
Yeah.
To cook, well, he'd give them sort of like army. They got kitchen details, you see, in the army. And I don't know, maybe you know more about that army business than I do, but I've heard they get assigned so much. Kitchen details or whatever. So they just first one and another would cook. Well, they got to be some grumbling coming up about their biscuits. They didn't have light bread. That was back before light bread got out all over the country.
Yeah.
And they had to bake biscuits for breakfast. Well, they, like most men, like myself, most men can't bake very good biscuits, you see. Sometimes it'd be pretty hard.
Yeah.
So, one morning he went out and I said, I'm going to stop this growling and grumbling about the food.
Yeah.
About the cooks. Can't keep a fellow in the kitchen. And fellas all the time grumbling. First man says anything about the cooking in any way, he has to cook a whole week. Straight and going. As I understood it, they was taking time about, day about maybe, meal about or something cooking. But anyhow, one old fellow couldn't keep from growling hardly. Went to the table one morning, and the biscuits wasn't too soft. Took one out, slammed it down on his plate, looked out a oath, said, "Hard enough to knock a ball down." But that's just the way I like it.
he's thinking fast, wasn't he?
he didn't want to put that weekend in the kitchen.
Now that shanty cooking, that didn't please him too much.
No,
When they worked a good day's work, they wanted to sit down with a hot meal and eat.
Yeah, that's right. And as like most men, they like good cooking.
Yeah.
If they work hard, they have to.
Yeah.
They have to have some good food along with it.
You never got off on some detail like that.
No, sir.
Well, now you eat out of your tin bucket.
Yes, out on the hills.
Yes.
Yes. But it was. It was food like we eat on the table at the house.
Yeah.
Maybe a little mush ice in it, or maybe the bread was froze a little hard in a cold 0 day.
Yeah.
That's when I had to warm my food up.
Yeah.
That's when I had to warm my coffee to get the mush ice out of it.
Oh.
Right out in the cold.
Yeah.
Out of the tin bucket.
Yeah.
But it was... It was cooked by a good cook.
And you'd already had a hot breakfast.
Yes, and I know that you're going to get a good hot supper.
Yes.
When you come in.
Yes. That's spoiled man, won't it?
That's right. That's right.
Well.
So, a lot of things happens. I could think back over my... working, what little public works I've done, and tell you a lot of things that would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, every day that comes up.
One, I'll tell you this maybe. Maybe I shouldn't.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
But it's, it happened to me. Back when I first, the first winter I drove bus, I had facial school bus chauffeur's license, you see. Well, the fellas down around here was working at the Hope gas plant down here on the river above Clendenin. And the man needed extra men. Seemed like then men was kind of scary. Well, there was a fellow lived down here in this hollow working and getting to his work any way he could. And I had a car, and he knew if he could get me on down there, well, he'd have transportation, you see. So this fellow asked him one day if there's any good men up here he could get. Don't know whether he mentioned then about the truck or not, but I wasn't down there long. This fellow told him when he asked him, said, "Yes," said, "there's a school bus driver. Drove school bus last winter right above me that I can bring down, and he's a good worker." Well, he come in and got me, and I went down the next day and went to work and put me on... the crane truck. It was a truck with a crane on it to lift heavy stuff, heavy material around the plant. They were adding more to the plant, putting in more lines. And that is, in other words, building a compressor station, you know. Well, where they'd lay the pipe for the run the stuff through to manufacture it or condense it or whatever they did. Why, they'd run farms and build farms and bolt the pipes to a cement farm with bolts, you know, to hold it secure. Well, I'm kind of getting mixed a little bit along. I should have worked that in later, but it'll all work out. So, wasn't that long, I was working on this crane, hooking for the crane operator. Well, the joiner, the main foreman, come to me and wanted me to go on the dump truck that they was working on the yard. He said he had to send it out on the road, and the man that was driving it didn't have a chauffeur's license, and he couldn't send him out. He could work it on the yard. Like here, I could work my truck out without license, chauffeur's license, or even license to drive on my place here. Well, they could do that. Man that didn't have any operator's license at all could drove the truck on the job there. But to take it out on the road, they had to have chauffeur's license. So he told me he didn't have no license operator to send him out on the road. Well, I put him off that time. Well, it went on a few days, and it got right up to the place where he had to send the truck out on the road. And he come, and I was in under the truck where the crane was mounted on, greasing it. We didn't have anything to do, and I was greasing it. So, operator was sitting around there. So he come up, joiner did, and he said, "Where's Cook at?" Moore said he's under the truck there, greasing it. Walked up and kicked the running board and said, "Come out here, man." I rolled out and looked up. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want you on that dump truck." I said, "Now, I don't know anything about driving a dump truck. I don't want to go on it." And I said, "Cook," he said, "I don't want to tell you that that's all I've got for you." He said, "That's where I need you." Well, I was the end of my mean road. I said, "Well, all right, but I don't know, never drove a dump truck in my life. Wouldn't know how to put it in gear to dump it." Well, he said, "We'll show you, and I'll keep you on the yard here a few days. Won't have to send you out for a few days. So I'll keep you on the yard here till you learn to handle it." Well, there wasn't anything else for me to do. So I went on, and I got along very well, made a lot of mistakes, forget a lot of times, you know. One time I dumped and this main boss was a good man to work under. He was an army captain. He could bowl you out and make you like it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was fun.
Yeah.
I would, one day especially, before I learned, when I dumped my material out of the dump truck, started off, didn't let the dump bed down. Started off with dump bed sticking up now. I have to tell this on myself.
Yeah.
Dump bed sticking up now, and the old boss under the joiner, he didn't like me. He sent one of the fellas running over, cut across the corner. I went around the corner here, and he sent one of the fellas with a note to it, told this fellow to tell me to let my bed down.
That's your dad burn bed down?
Yes, a little rougher than that.
Yeah.
So, I let it down. Felt bad over it, you know. That was a dumb trick out of me, but we didn't get along too good, me and this underboss. So, fellow kind of irritated he don't do things as he should. Well, it went on.
Yes.
And Joyner, I got along good, and I'd made a lot of runs out on the road and got along good. And I finally got back in one evening too early. Went to Joyner and said to him, I said, Joyner, come in about 3 o'clock. I said, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do the rest of the evening? He said, Cook, he said, no, Stuart, he said, I don't have a thing for you to do. He said, you get out of here, hide somewhere and stay in the clear. He said, you ain't been taking your noon now. I said, how do you know? I knew they was checking on me for when I'd start from one compressor station to the other. They had one back over here in Calhoun, way over on 16. I could start over there. Well, when I get in there, well, you made a quick trip. Cook. I said, well, how do you know? Well, they called me and told me when you started. Then when I got in there, they called back when I got over there, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Both ways. And when I left over there, they know the minute I started down here at my home.
Yeah.
So I was being checked on, and he told me. And I said, you ain't taking your noon hour. He said, these fellas here takes their noon hour. And when the whistle blows, he said, they have to go to the toilet and they have to smoke a cigarette. And he said, they take about an hour and 15 or 20 minutes or maybe 30 minutes. And you don't take any, only just enough to swallow your food. He said, I said, now I can't, said, crawl off in the shade somewhere. And I said, I'm by myself and I'd rather be gone. Well, he said, it ain't right. He said, you crawl off. Can't stay no other way, go to sleep. Well, I said, supposing I'd oversleep. Well, he said, come in when you wake up and we'll pay you overtime. So, one evening, just before quitting time.
Now that's Joyner.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now he was a real man.
Yeah.
One evening, just before quitting time, he said, Cook, he said, you go sit in such a place and gather up that junk and haul it to the lower end, dump it in that junk pile. Well, the whistle blowed quitting time before I got loaded. And he also gave me a helper on the truck now, a boy to help me. And I had made. So... He said to me, he said, you go load this stuff, take the lower end. Well, the whistle blowed, and I just leave my truck set where it was and go back to it the next morning, leave the key in it.
Oh,
there
yeah.
was always men on the yard, on the ground there. There was one tower.
Yeah.
On the compressor station they had operating, they operated it round the clock. Men now all the time. So I went back the next morning, and the boss under Joyner come to me. He was going to run cement. They'd got one of these farms that they had set with transit, you know, and farmed it up with lumber, and it was set with the transit, took the carpenters and the engineer about 2 days to set it and make the farm to pour the cement in. So, this Ralph Hall was the underboss. That we didn't get, me and him didn't get along too good. Didn't like his attitude. He drank and he swore and like. So he come and that morning, and I was still loading, trying to get the job done that Joyner had told me to do the evening before, and I refused him. Well, he cussed me out. Well, I just quit, left my truck set. Joyner was up in a little building, two building, and he's putting the day men out to work. And Joyner seen me coming out of the window. He's looking, seen me coming. He knew there was something wrong. When I walked up to the door, he said, what's wrong, Cook? I said, who am I working under? You're Ralph Hall. Said, why, what's wrong? Well, I said, Ralph Hall come down now, wanted me to go haul cement. Get a load of cement this morning. Take down to the mixer and haul cement for him today. And I said, you told me to finish this job up, or to do this job yesterday, and I didn't get it done. I'm trying to finish it up. I want to know who I'm working under. Didn't talk that pleasant either. I didn't watch my language then like I do now. And, well, he said, I'm sorry, Cook. He said, Ralph Hall's got a bunch of men, and he has to run that cement. He said, whenever he wants you to do anything, you go do exactly what Ralph Hall tells you to do. Regardless of what I told you to do. I said, well, all right. I just turned around, went down to my dump truck and started it. I was in the road now, mind you, but I had room to go around. I just raised my dump bed and dumped my material right in the road. Mad, you know. So, I went back up to the cement house, and while the men, I'd always been helping load the truck, but I'd crawled up on the shield up over the cab, you know, and was sitting there, and Joyner, as soon as he got his men placed to work, he went to the main superintendent in the main office. He knowed there's going to be a friction, you know. So he went to my rescue, stopped it at before Hall got to the superintendent, you see. Come back down, when he seen where I was, when he got inside of the truck, he just walking, flinging his arms and in a good humor, you know. Trying to get me in a good humor. Now, Mom bawls me out about this. Boy, I answered him to come along. When he got up close enough, he said, Cook, he said, do you want to fight? I said, just one more damn word out of Ralph Hall and I'm ready. I said, it's respect I had for you this morning that I didn't whoop him when he cussed me out down there early this morning. It's the respect I had for you, or I didn't want to have a fight on your job.
Yeah.
And he just cackled and laughed and went on. Well, went on and I got the cement down and they mixed the load and they had a piece of 8-inch pipe welded in the back bottom of the tailgate. Or in the tailgate, up high enough so you could load 6 or 8 inches of cement in the dump bed and haul it to the farm where you wanted to pour it, and you could raise it up. Well, it run out at that 8-inch pipe, you know, right in the farm.
Oh.
Handy.
Yeah.
Somebody had a head on him when they fixed the dump truck that way. So I was backing into the farm, and we had loose dirt where they had dug the holes for the pits, you know, for to run the cement in and all. And she's hollering for dinner, but I'll go ahead with this story. This is the interesting part. Working my way back to the farm, the friction that was going, I didn't want to hit the farm and knock it a quarter of an inch out of line, you see, before they'd set it with the transit. Well, I was working my way back, and I wouldn't gain more than that much, for I was in mud that deep up to the hub with the truck, dump truck, you see, and I'd pull up, work my way back, gain a few inches. Hall was standing out about like that line pole out there, on solid dirt. He hollered to me, called my name, hey, Cook, motioned by his side this way, and I dashed up by him, and cement one up on the front of the truck, thin, you know, and just slapped in the truck. Maybe a little bit slapped out at the 8-inch pipe behind when it went back. I said, what in the hell do you want? Joyner was standing right in the building, just close to where I was backing into this farm. He was watching all the transactions. And he said, put that thing in reverse, floorboard her, and give her hell. Well, that's what I done, and when I hit my tracks where I knowed I couldn't miss, I did floorboard it. And when I got stopped, I'd knocked the farm out, a place just about a couple of feet or maybe more. Just tore it all to pieces. 2 days' work with carpenter and engineers, you see. Well, the little engineer was a Frenchman. He just jumped about so high, went to cussing. I just stepped out on the running board of my truck, and I said, say, mister, I said, if you're going to cuss anybody, cuss Ralph Hall over yonder. I done just exactly what he told me to do. I took one cussing this morning. I'm not taking no more. Just that way. Joyner was standing in the door when I got back in the truck and pulled up a little bit to see what to do or where to go. Well, he just turned around, headed for the office again. So Joyner, when he left there, he told me, he said, Cook, he said, I'm going to Pennsylvania, transferred him to Pennsylvania. He said, I'm going up, sitting, called the name of the station, compressor station he was going to. He was going up there as superintendent over the station up there. He moved up from the next man down to the superintendent's place up there. He said, Cook, he said, if you ever get out of a job, told me he was leaving, shook hands with me, said, if you ever get out of a job, he said, you come to Pennsylvania, sit in a place and hunt me up. And he said, if I don't have a job for you, I'll make one. He said, you, just the kind of a man I like to work. He said, you do exactly what a man tells you to do. Now, that is one instance. Yeah. That was the truth. I can prove it by several fellows that are working around here.
Now, that one statement you made over there after we went the loop the other day, we got down on the other fork of Granite Creek,
yeah.
And we had been going into all these incidents, between the two sides, and you said you sometimes worried that you hoped you could get a little peace of mind about all these incidents. Else you remember that?
Yes, we remember that.
Now, how'd you say that?
Oh, really, I don't know. I talk so much and I'm forgetful. I just don't know as I could just...
Well, I feel the same way sometimes about of my transactions.
Say it. I couldn't just repeat it specifically the way maybe I said it over there. But don't believe I brought this in, but this is about the nearest I know how to explain your question. My work, any time that I went into a job, I took it serious. And I tried to be fair with myself and all concerned. And if I made a mistake, I'd try to do just exactly what the boss told me to do. If I made a mistake, why, it's his mistake then, not mine.
Yeah.
Like I started to tell you, I'll tell you this, you know, when I stopped in the swag down, I was telling you about the pulling the chest and flywheel up. I believe I told you that before. But another instance, this same boss, he knew...
You better go in there and get us.
hay off my truck and throw it up the front and just haul it. It'll hold the thing down.
Well, you can take my hiring truck if you want to. Whichever you want to.
We made that,
You have to go out.
Well, I went up to the far pasture, far meadow, with Bill, when he was raking up there. And you know, that's almost like a little separate world up there. See, you got those gas mains up there. Got two of them.
Mm-hmm.
36?
26.
26.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good sized ones?
Yes. Yes. Good size. Close to them.
Yeah. Now you got all that water up there. That's just ready to move in up there. What you got in, what they got in that little house up there? I saw that hay out there. It looked like it was.
Nothing in the house.
Nothing
only
in
some
the house.
Junk.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
go to that house when I move to Florida.
Yeah.
58.
59. 59. 15 years ago, ain't it?
Yes, sir. During that time, see, Dad was, he was just, that was the beginning of his driving school bus.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't drive then. I started driving in 47.
47.
Oh, yeah.
That was the beginning of, well, you hadn't been driving too long hauling them into Clay.
I just hauled here 1 year. And then I hauled them out a year or two and went on into Clay. That, what happened there, I wouldn't take the first contract at $90 a month to furnish my own gas and vehicle. And the board members promised me that if I'd take it at $90 a month, they'd give me a job hauling into town the next year. Give me the big bus from across the foot of the hill over here into town the next year. Well, that would make me over $200 a month, you see. Well, they went ahead and forgot about it and hired the same bus driver for the little bus into town out of the hollow over here. Well, he went ahead and...
Well, I feel a little warmth up there.
He went ahead and drove that year. So, the next year, no, now I'm wrong.
You
want to
get ready? You better get ready.
Okay,
get
well, all right, I'll check in with you for it later.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I was interested in that hung up there. Now, you said that water place over there on the far side, you'd let it get ahead of you, growed up. You couldn't get in that a mole.
The line kind of stopped up, and the water didn't drain out the line to the main, to the water box at the pasture field, didn't take care of the water, and it let it out in the bottom and got the bottom soft. That's why I couldn't get in that a mole.
Sure, but on the hair.
So,
and as far as you know, it's still stopped up.
Some extent, yes. It,
yeah.
it don't run, it don't keep the box good and full and flow out like it ought to.
Well, what would you have to do? Take it up?
No. No, I There's two things that might have, one or the other of them, or maybe both. First, I could take the cap off the line. Now, the line runs through in under the box, and it goes out on the other side over here, cap on it.
Yeah.
For the purpose of cleaning the line.
Oh, I see.
And in here in the middle of the box is a nipple, a T and a nipple, comes up here about 8 inches, and the water comes out in the box.
Yeah.
Through that.
Sure.
Well,
oh, I see.
I can take this cap off down here below the box.
Yeah.
And run a eel or war or something up in there, maybe unstop the line if it's stopped up between the swing and the box. But if it's something over the line where it comes out of the swing, the box at the swing, why, I'll have to bail the water down so that I can get down there to unstop it at the swing, you see.
Yeah.
So it's...
Now, how does the overflow get out?
There's a pipe. Comes up to the top of the water. That is, comes up as far as you want the water in the box.
Yeah.
And it's open and it overflows out at that and goes out into the creek.
Yeah.
That's the overflow line.
Well, how far does the pipe go, the overflow pipe? It don't go clear across the pasture.
Oh, no. It just goes out into the creek. Just so it comes out of the box is all necessary.
Yeah.
But I've got something like 8 or 10 foot piece of pipe on the line out into the creek from the overflow.
Well, now you got a square box up there.
Yes, sir.
At the far
at the spring.
And then next to the creek you got a
long box.
Long box.
Holds 250 gallon of water.
Yeah, that's right, smart, isn't it?
Yes, and the cattle. Now there's water in the creek there, and I've seen the cattle, and noticed them walk across, wade the creek to get to that water box to drink out of.
Yeah.
Must be the cause of. The water coming from the spring. Spring water is always colder than creek water, you see.
Yeah.
I expect that's maybe the main reason that they cross the creek to get to the box to drink.
Yeah. Well, you know, my cows had rather have that swamp water down there in the prairie than that fresh water up there in the tub.
Well, how does the fresh water get there?
By the well.
You pump it or carry it? But both.
Well, it's on. You pump it. It's
electric pump, reckon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that wouldn't be much difference, you see. But I don't know why. But cattle seems to like swamp water.
Yeah.
They like pond water.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this pond back here, they wouldn't come off so much when I had the float and the check valve on the on the water box, so that when they drank it down, it'd fill back up, and the float would shed it off.
Yeah.
They drink water up there a whole lot, but since they don't like to go into that pond and wade in there,
yeah,
and drink, they'll come down here to this box down yonder that I showed you the other day.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been down there.
Well, now what?
Twice today.
What sort of? You said not when they put this gas pipe in there. And it met a pipe, it'd have to go under. And unless he got permission. Now, what sort of pipe did you have there for that to go under? That was on down further away from your spring.
Yes, it was between the spring and the box. The pipe was the two big lines went between the spring and the box, water box.
Oh, you mean right there?
Yes.
Where the little ditch was?
Down just below the ditch. It come parallel across the bottom below the ditch to the long water box from the square box
Wing. Yeah.
Parallel straight down across the bottom it went straight to the other box, long box.
Oh, I thought we were standing down a little bit. I thought you had another pipe down there that the Indian fella.
Well, that was the pipe. Yes, it come from the water box, the swing, square box, down about where we was standing, straight down to the long box at the creek.
Oh, I see. Clear across down there.
Yes. And that was the pipe they took out. That's the only pipe I've got there.
Yeah.
That was the pipe they took out, 2-inch pipe.
And those fellas wasn't too easy to deal with.
They was overbearing. Wanted to do their way.
Yeah.
That's why we got into it about the pipe.
Yeah. You had, now let's see, I kind of forget how that went. You had an understanding before.
Well, when they come and got permission to take the line up,
yes.
They said they would fix it back the way I wanted it. I told them they could take the 2-inch line up. Wouldn't ask them to buy 2-inch galvanized pipe, but I would ask them to buy 1.25-inch galvanized pipe and put back in the place of the 2-inch line.
Oh, you had a 2-inch pipe there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Down across the bottom.
Yeah.
So, they agreed to it, but when the Indian come back to fix it, he brought 1-inch black pipe.
Yeah.
And was going to fix it with it. Till he got stopped.
And he wasn't very easy to stop.
Well, he was persistent, that is, in his words. He usually done what his boss sent him to do. He done a job that he always sent him out to do before he went back.
Yeah.
But I told him he couldn't finish that job and do that job with the inch pipe he had. Black pipe. And when he said the second time that he usually got the job done when his boss sent him out and started to get the remainder of the black pipe, I stopped him and told him that he couldn't put the black pipe in.
He's a pretty big fella, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes, he was. And he insisted again, said he usually done what his boss told him he'd do. And I told him, I said, now, he'd started after more pipe. I said, you make another move to put this pipe in here, and they'll carry you out of here. And he just stopped, looked at me a little bit, and he said, chin began to quiver. He said to his helper, Mr. Kelly, he said, let's go. And started off without the black pipe. And I told him to come back and get it. Take it along with him. I didn't want it. And I said, furthermore, since you've acted the way you have, you tell your boss that he needn't send you back, for you can't put it in. If you send Mr. Kelly, I'll help him put it in the right kind of pipe. So that's the way it went.
Yeah. Well, you think he'd have scared off most of the fellas?
He would scare? Boy, that was his intention here. That's why they sent him in here, was to bullywag fellas.
Yeah.
and get things done the way they wanted it done.
Yeah.
That's what they had him for. But he struck a stump that time.
Yeah. You've had your share of rough customers around this country. You know, that's curious, isn't it?
Well, not that I'm so rough, but a fellow has to take his own part. If he don't, the other fellow ain't going to. You run over you all the time.
And then when they put that, they dug that ditch 8 foot
up through the bottom, approximately 8 foot deep.
Yes, and that got down to the gravel.
Quick gravel, yes. Lifted them out, and what they done, what damaged my bottom, they sewed that out on the, in other words, they dug that with a ditcher.
Yes.
Basket this way that just dug it as it went, you know.
Yeah.
That was called a ditcher, ditching machine. Well, as they would, when they would dig the topsoil out, it would fall out on the side on the ground. Well, when they got down to the gravel and they come out, why, they come on top and the dirt and gravels out of the bottom of the ditch was on top of the pile of dirt on top.
Yeah.
Well, when they come along a backfilling, as they called it, the line, why, they took a bulldozer and they just get against that ridge of dirt that was poured out there, and the bottom, the topsoil went in the bottom.
Well, I'd say that with the interest in the environment now, they wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
Well, yes. If man sold them the right of way, that's they have their way of doing business. It's not right. They shouldn't do it that way. What they could have done if they would have been reasonable with the farmers, they could have raised a dozer blade and got up here and shoved the gravels back in the bottom and shoved the dirt back in and let it go, the top of it, the ridge, go in the bottom where it came from.
Yeah.
And then when they filled the top, they'd had to got down to the ground soil that wasn't broken here. Why, they shoved the top soil right back in on top, but they don't do business that way, them fellas. You take a machinery operator, like I said a lot of times about myself, they know how to operate the machine, and they do it their own way, like the Indian was aimed to do the pipe business.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell them how you want it, and they'll listen attentively to you, but then they'll go ahead and do it their way. You can't tell them anything. They know it all.
And you think they still do that?
Yes. If they would come through with the 36-inch line where they started and surveyed from these pipeline gates up here back through yonder to Route 16 up in Calhoun, they surveyed that much of the line here for a 36-inch line. Well, if they would put that in and then come on and go on through my bottom while I owned it, why, I would see if I couldn't go up there and engineer and get the gravels back in the bottom.
But
I'd try.
You'd have to do it.
Well,
they won't do it.
Well, No, they do it their way. And I wouldn't say that I could get it done after they'd have the right of way. They usually, like, as the old saying is, Collins's Ram, they do it their own way.
Well,
fellas like that.
They make so much more money than they used to. It looks like they might be higher class operators.
Well, you mean more agreeable to work with? Or how, in other words, just more, speaking it plain, have more sense?
More careful.
Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way, but I usually just say what comes up. They don't care. The money is what the majority of fellows like that say.
Oh.
The money.
Oh.
The money.
They're not even conscious of doing it.
They don't care for the farmer.
Yeah.
Why, they was fellas in here from Texas, and this was this country here, this was wasteland to hear them tell.
Yeah.
Our land here was wasteland in West Virginia.
Yeah.
I was working helping cut right away. Went back over here to 36 and began the first day I worked. I went from 36 back that way and then worked through this way, through my place here and on through. And clean over down next to Clendenin on the head of Barron Creek. Well, we rode the company had a truck. They picked the men up and they couldn't furnish their own transportation. They could ride their own transportation to some point and pick a truckload of men up and take them to the job on the line. And then they'd know about where they to pick them up that evening, and they'd maybe go down the river 2 or 3 miles and up another hollow and pick them up in the head of another hollow, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they picked us up in the head of Barron Creek one day, and coming out, just as we struck the hard road, why, some of them fellas from Texas, they was talking, they was giving this country down the road wasn't nothing but wasteland. Well, I was didn't know whether I had anybody to take my part or not, but I always tried to take my own part best I can. But maybe I got by that time, but I took a chance.
Yeah.
I just called one fellow's hand. He made a smutty remark about West Virginia, about these hills, and I said, well, I said, why are you up here? If you live in such a grand country, why don't you stay in your own country and make a living? You're up here in West Virginia to make a living. I've heard all of this thrown off on West Virginia. I want to hear.
You mean really you said that?
Yes, sir. I told him that right in the truck, back of the truck with a bunch of men.
Yeah.
Now, you see, that was foolish out of me.
Yes,
in a way.
It probably was.
It was, but they wasn't reasonable. This country has got its shortcomings. Well, their country has the same. They was up here to make money that they couldn't make in their own home state. See?
Well, now this fellow you knew, he wasn't the county agent, but he had the 4-H boys up here.
Yes, sir.
And they had the auger.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the soils.
What he was doing with the 4-H boys out here, he was training them to judge soil, different kinds.
Yeah.
And he was going to take them and enter them in a contest with other 4-H boys from other counties. And he was trying to train his boys so they would know enough about soil to tell he would win the contest, you see. They'd know enough about soil to outjudge the boys from the other counties that he was in the contest with, you see.
Sure.
So he, I had a boy. One of my boys was in the group. And most of the boy was at the house eating his dinner, and they come down and eating dinner down there and under that walnut tree. And he told me, he said, "Mr. Cook," he said, "you, that's the best piece of land I've stuck an auger in Clay County."
Mm.
He said, "That there soil is 36 inches deep, the depth of that auger, and the same all the way down." He said that was the best patch of ground he'd stuck an auger in Clay County.
Well, now, that's just what these fellas from Texas and all wouldn't ever know.
Well, no, they didn't know. They was so much more hills that they had to work the machinery over than there was bottomland like that. But now we've made a living on these hills. And with what little bottom we have, maybe as good as they made.
Yeah.
I haven't had to go to Texas to pick up the big money like they had to come up here to get the pipeline money.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about, we stopped there and got the gas, the bottled gas, in town. Out there at your old neighbor's, Clay...
Bullard.
Clay Bullard. Now, Clay was your neighbor up here for a long time, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. He was raised right here in a little house. Well, did you notice the barn now that was so near torn down?
Yes. That it?
That was the house Clay Bullard was raised in from just a little boy. Daddy moved out when he was just a little fella.
Yeah.
And he rode up there.
Yeah.
In that little house. Then finally his daddy got worked in the oil field here, and he was a tool dresser. And he was, he knowed how to save his money.
Mm-hmm.
Built the house where Mr. Ashley lives in.
Oh, he built the house.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty good house in its time then, wasn't it?
Which?
The new one.
It's still a good house. You don't find better farmhouses in the country.
Yeah.
Same way with our house here.
Yeah.
We've been looking around.
Is it? It's not as good as yours.
Well.
Well, anyhow, it's a good house.
Yes, it's a good house. Yeah. Yes, I'd say they're good. They're above the average country home, above average.
But now Clay, he farmed a little bit, but he done more trading, I take it, than farming.
Well, no, he had a steady job with the oil company here, and he hired his farming done, and traded a little on the side.
Yeah, livestock.
Yeah.
And then he moved to town.
Well, yes, he moved over there, and after he went into the, got the Gravely tractor sales for Clay County.
Yeah.
He moved over there, built that building, and done a lot of work on his house. He's got a pretty good house. He's made a good house out of the place he bought there. And he built a building where the filling station is and the Gravely tractor parts is.
Now, where is the barbershop?
Well, the barbershop was the... You notice the letters on the door there where the... something about the water system or public service... office or something.
Yeah.
Now that was the barber shop. that his boy, that's where he barbered, in the center room there. But they've got some kind of an office in there now. And this boy got a postmaster there at Mesal, retired. And this boy that was the barber had some service. Well, he spent his time in World War II. And a soldier has priority over a common person when it comes to a government job like post, keeping the post office.
Yeah.
Well, this boy got the postmaster space after this postmaster retired. So, his boy owns a block joining his daddy, and he built the brick building down this side of where we got the gas.
Oh.
And the post office is in the front of it, and his barber shop's in the back.
Oh. Oh, you mean he can still be a barber?
Oh, yes, he. You see, a postmaster just has to keep the post office open. I believe about 3 or 4 hours a day. I believe it's from 9 to 12.
Uh-huh.
So he's got the rest of the time on his own to barber, you see. Got a good thing.
That's pretty good.
Got a good thing.
You get along about as well as anybody, I guess.
He'll get along better than most people.
Now, his daughter is up on the bluff right above him.
Yes, sir, in the camper outfit.
King?
Friend.
Friend.
Yes.
And she married into the friend.
Yes, sir. She married into the friend. Her husband was from Ivydale.
Yeah.
So, they've maneuvered and done well.
Now, the twins. Is the barber one of the twins?
No. one of the twins runs the surf filling station there. And sells the gas, you know. Mr. Bullard, Clay, went hunting for Kerry.
Yes.
And of course he was busy at something and couldn't come. And,
I see.
And then the other twin, Gary, Kerry and Gary was the twin's name. Gary lives up in the double camper. Right on the point back of where you got the gas. So they're all right around. And Kerry lives over here on a place that Clay had bought. And he lived in the little house back where you said was a good house back of the brick. So he took a notion and built him a good brick home. Cost him, I believe, $23,000 to get built.
Yeah.
So they've made money. The family's made money.
Yeah. You know, it's a curious thing. We get into more of these characters, you see, than we do just honest, everyday people. I don't know. We haven't run into many of these just honest, everyday people. There must be some of them around that.
Well, yes, they are, yes. But a few, they're not. You don't ever one you ever fellow you run on, not one of them.
Yeah. Well, now you must have run into. Well, the trouble is, you know people in here, but you know people all over the county, too.
Yes.
So
pretty well.
You may have friends, just as good friends up in the other end of the county as you have here.
I do. Have as good friends over in Roane County as I do here.
Yeah.
It's not the closest person that lives to you that your neighbor, it's the man that helps you in time of need.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah, the one next to you doesn't always know.
No. But this is a good neighborhood. It's reasonable. That is what I mean. It's average.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do for if I'd move out of this neighborhood. Well, if I didn't have no good neighbors, why, the neighborhood I'd move into would be afraid of me.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So a fellow has to be a good neighbor to have good neighbors.
Well, who would you call one of the best fellows that you know? I have known for a long time.
Oh. I don't know whether I talked this before or not when we was in this position or not, but like I told you, I believe up at the house about the old man Phillips when my mother was sick. Coming over here several times. I couldn't get a chance to talk to him, and he got his horse frustrated down there and couldn't get on him off of the sled and called me down away from the other people. We had a lot of company. Called me down there and wanted me to help him get on his horse, you know, hold his horse till he could get on. Well, he told me what he'd been coming over for. He said he'd been trying to get a chance to tell me. So he said, I don't know how you, well off you are financially, but he said, sickness usually puts a fellow in a close place. And he says, if you get up against it, need any money, you know where Uncle Jim lives.
Yeah.
Now that was neighbor.
That was.
That was, a fellow like that is, a fellow could crash him with the best. And you know a lot of fellas, we don't all have the same way, but we have good neighbors right up the way here, the next two. Well, good neighbors in their way. You see what I mean? We don't all have the same way of getting along, or we don't have the same action. I don't know how to put it, but. In their way, they're good neighbors.
Well, now you take while we were sitting in the truck there, we drove up to that country store, I guess, was that it?
Yeah.
And, where was it? And Ashley said they had my truck over there.
Yes, that was at the country store, yes.
Yes. And he said that is not good as little.
Yes. Well,
he got beat out of it. Now, you see, that's the sort of thing that you hear the most about.
Well,
he had that wreck.
Well, now, that's what I would call it. Well, the incident happened like this old car out here. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Just a.
But the insurance paid him for his truck, but didn't pay him. Some way he got beat out of $100.
Yeah.
For I took the man to fill out the papers for when he, and reported to his agent, and I heard the conversation. They was talking, and he said to the agent, he said, they'll probably cancel my insurance. Yes, in fact, they will. Well, he said, I don't care a whole lot. I'm got the notion of quitting driving anyhow. Well, they filled out the papers, and when it come to the value of the truck, asked him, well, now he said, we'll have to arrive at a price. And he just spoke up right now. He said, it's a good truck. It ought to be worth $550. The agent said, that's $100 deductible.
Yeah.
Your insurance is $100 deductible. That would mean you'll get $450.
Yes.
And of course that would be the way of it, you see. But I don't know how the papers were filled out. If $450 was put on the form that they was filling out, why, the insurance deducted another $100.
Oh.
So he got $350. That's why that he one reason why he thought he got beat out of his truck.
Yeah.
Well, another reason, they got two estimates. They totaled it just like they totaled this car here. Sits right there. But they don't want to pay nothing for it, you see.
Yeah.
See what I mean? So, now, that's how I claim they just hooked him out of his truck.
Yeah.
And the man over here, the garage man that made one of the estimates, when he went and gave the estimates and totaled it to the insurance agent, the question come up about what he would give for it. Well, he said he'll give $200. Well, he bought it for $200 and tuck it over there after he'd totaled it, you see.
Yeah.
And then, after he got it fixed up, out with the for sale sign on it, this old fella's son come along and asked what he would take for the truck, and he asked him $600. Means it's you, he said, will sell it to you for $600.
Yeah.
So you see, that's how the old man got beat out of his truck.
Yeah.
So the insurance man, the agent, goofed. Or something, I'd have never accepted that $350 check. I'd have gotten me a lawyer. If it had cost me the $100, I wouldn't have given it to some of them.
Yes.
So you see what I mean?
Yes. The truck in running condition wasn't worth but $350 or $450, whichever way you want to figure it.
Yeah.
But as a total wreck, it was still worth $200.
Yes, 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 sir.
So he fixed it up a little bit.
Well, here, instead of being fair with the old fella, this fellow over here, if he'd have wanted to have been a man and have been fair with the old fella, he would have said, now, the reason I've had to total this, the parts will cost so much that a fella can't afford to fix it up. New parts. But I can get used parts.
Yeah.
And fix it up and you'll still have a good truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He wanted to make $300 or $400 himself, you see. That's how they beat him out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have a thing for the garage man.
There's a whole lot of
crooks.
Finagling in the world.
Whole lot of crooks.
Was that Leo?
He went, yes.
We better go in and see what's going on, hadn't
we? Well, anytime we can go in and see how the woman's getting on.
Let's go see it.
Well, I'll...
And that's the end of this most pleasant visit with Burl after supper this Friday, the 4th of October, 74, and just about the end of Channel 2 Over. Just about the end of the reel. Just about the end of Channel 2 Over. This Friday after supper, the 4th of October, 74. And this is the upper pasture where the big pipe, gas pipe, went through. Or two of them went through. I don't know, one or two. And Channel 2 Over, and the end of the visit with Burl after supper in the trailer, this little 12-footer, this Friday, the 4th of October, 74.